Praise God. God is a good God. Amen. Amen. Well, it's good to be back here. I mean, it's been a few weeks. In fact, I was supposed to be here last week, but for whatever reason, my parents kicked me out. They wanted to come last week. I don't know why. So I said, well, if you're going to come last week, then I need to come this week because, you know, we have next week, I actually won't be here. And so, you know, it's been a long time. And so, in fact, I just want to say a few things. I know that I'm sure my dad has thanked you guys, but I want to also thank you for your love and support and prayers over the last year. As you know, Blake was, you know, been in prison. Praise God, he's out. That's awesome. Awesome. You know, Christmas present came early, and then I don't know if he told you that he's enrolled to go to Ramah. He's going to start in January. And the way our basketball league works, that when most of schools actually ended their semester the first week of December, and so he was actually any spring student is eligible to play. So he actually played his first college basketball game last Thursday night in Enid. He got 2 points and about 3 rebounds and missed 4 free throw shots. But I mean, it's better than playing in prison. I mean, that's a so, you know, it's just a wonderful time. He has a home game coming up Wednesday. So it's pretty exciting just to see. I mean, you know, the day after he was released on December the 3rd, December the 4th, he started practicing. So, you know, it's, you know, he's, you know, just hit the ground running, you know, we're literally running, I guess. So, he, you know, trying to get back in shape. He said, you know, still not, you know, they would not, you know, they got only an hour to go out to the yard. Not only, they didn't always get that sometimes. So, you know, I mean, he played a lot of basketball there, and he said, you know, the one thing that I said, talked about the free throw shots, he goes, we don't shoot free throws in prison. There is no fouls. In fact, he told me a couple weeks ago, he got a rebound, someone punched him in the face. You know, and so he just had to step away because you know, he didn't want to do something stupid, you know, right before he went, you know, be getting out. So anyway, I just want to thank you guys for your prayers, and, you know, just awesome to see what God's doing in his life. You know, it's going to be a good Christmas. Amen. Amen. You know, and I don't know. You know, it's hard to describe how difficult it is, you know, unless you have family members that are, and it's probably tougher on the family members than it is on them, because see, they control their own destiny. You don't, you know, and you don't know. Like I said, I mean, very well, when someone punched him in the face, he could have responded, and that could have messed things up for him. You know. So, but I had told him that before. I said, you know, playing basketball and stuff, I mean, sometimes people can get mad. So he, you know, he was already ready for that. And so, you know, he said it wasn't worth it. Amen. So I do want to describe a little bit, you know, because since I went on my trip, I haven't talked to you guys. So before I have my message kind of short tonight, I want to talk a little bit about my trip. I started out, went to Greece. Started out going to Chicago. That was the one bad thing about it. And, you know, Mom and Dad, they fly the airplane. I fly commercial because I'm also an accountant. Doesn't make sense for me, myself, to fly the airplane. You know, they take a whole crew and things like that. So I had to set for 7 hours layover in Chicago. So, and then another 5 hours in Istanbul, Turkey. So that's 12 hours I'm laying over. But anyway, praise God, I made it there. So I got there one night. The next night, we actually, we had the Ramah Greece graduation. And it was actually in Athens. But we had a few students who graduated from Thessalonica, too. In fact, so it was our first graduation from anyone from Thessalonica who graduated. So it's pretty cool. I mean, you know, obviously we read Thessalonica in the Bible and think, you know, so we have Ramah graduates in Thessalonica now. It's about driving-wise, about 5 hours from Athens. I mean, flying, it's only about, an hour and a half flight. And so it's pretty cool. And then I believe now that we have 80,000 Ramah graduates that have graduated from our campuses all around the world. I mean, so that's pretty awesome, you know. And I mean, Brazil has over 100 schools. I think they have 97 graduations this year. In fact, they start their graduations in mid. They started in mid November, and they go through. I know one time they wanted me to do a graduation on the 23rd of December. I'm like, that's getting too close to Christmas. I got to get home. But they normally go through like the 23rd of December because we try to, some of the main people from the main campus someone from there tries to attend all the graduations. And even though we have like 108 schools in Brazil, sometimes they combine together, but they've had a number of graduations. And so it's just amazing what God's doing. So we had our graduation there in Greece. I think we had about 40 students or so. The way they do things in Greece is kind of, you know, and here in America, we actually have school kind of like a normal school. What they do is they actually, they have like modules. And so sometimes it takes longer than 2 years to go to school because you take a module, you know, one month or two modules a month or whatever. And so once you finish all the modules, you're done, you know, with first year, then finish second year. And so those are the people who completed 2 years worth of modules, you know, so they don't have quite as many. And plus, we have just moved our school in Greece, and it used to be, of course, it's in Athens, always been in Athens, but it used to be kind of in the suburb area. But you have to understand, in Athens being a major city, not everybody has a car. In fact, it's really hard to find parking downtown Athens. And so a lot of people rely on public transportation, you know, buses, and then they have a really nice metro subway system there. And so the coolest part about it is our new school and church is located at 1.5 blocks from one of the biggest subway hub areas in the whole city. In fact, you know, my hotel was right there in this big, it was a big open area where they have all kinds of stuff on the weekends and stuff right there. That it's one of the main hub. You know, there are subway stops, and then there's hubs where there's like two or three different lines come in, and you know, you can change from one line to the other, and that's at a major hub. And that's 1.5 blocks. I mean, I actually walked from my hotel to the church. So it's pretty cool to, you know, you walk to church. Actually, you know, it was closer than probably parking to go to church, if you know the truth of the matter. If, you know, of course, they would have let me out right in front of the building, but it's hard to find parking places. Anyone been in a major city? It's, I guess even downtown Oklahoma City ain't easy to find parking places, unless you want to pay for them. You know, you have some guy holding up a sign. And have you always wondered, does that guy really own that lot? You know, I've actually thought about before. I'm thinking, you know, what if someone finds an empty lot and just say, you know, put a $5 thing, or $5 is cheap, you know, like, you know, if the Thunder's playing, it's $20 or whatever, you know. But I mean, you know, I've always wondered sometimes, does someone just put a sign up and start collecting money? Because nobody would know the difference. I don't mean to give someone an idea, but anyway, I'm sorry. So we had the graduation there. Then the next night we actually had a time where we met with our alumni, also some pastors in the area, just kind of had a fellowship and thanking them for stuff and talking about, you know, just what Raymond is doing around the world and answering a few questions, you know, talk to some of the pastors about, with Raymond, we want to actually train people to help your church, you know, not train people to start another church right next to yours and things like that. And so sometimes, you know, some pastors are kind of aren't, you know, they don't know if they want to send some money because they don't want to start, you know, but you know, also too, a lot of, some Raymond students, you know, there are always bad people in every bunch. Some Raymond students, you know, once they get back, they're like, well, I know more than you, pastor. I went to Bible school. You didn't. So, that kind of stuff. So anyway, we met with the pastors, had a really good time, had a full house there. And this, you know, just wasn't really a sermon. We just kind of talked with what Raymond's doing around the world, kind of gave him some statistics and talked about some different things. And, you know, over in Greece, I believe that we have 25 or 26 of our books are translated in the Greek language. You know, so that's pretty cool. And then on Sunday night, we had a healing night. And so it was a wonderful time. And, you know, I know we had a few people instantly had testimonies. I mean, just various things. We had a wonderful time. And then from there, we went to Albania. This is my second time, obviously, to Albania. And our school there, actually, we have 88 students in Albania. And Albania is really cool. And for some of you who weren't here last time, we talked about Albania. You have to understand, Albania was under communism rule until 1990 or 91, I believe, when they became free. Now, and the government there was, like, really strict. And I'm going to talk more about that government. And I'll tell you what I did. We'll talk about more about that after we finish my whole trip. I'm going to talk a little bit about, because I took a tour and learned some more stuff about things. But basically, the pastors that we have there, and our school is really neat because, once again, they had the module system as well. But our school is made up of a lot of people who are already pastors. All right, so they're already big pastors, but interesting, they're first generation pastors. You know, they're first generation Christians. Because whenever under communism rule, religion was outlawed. You were not allowed to have any kind of religion. It didn't matter. In fact, the biggest religion in Albania is Islam. All right, but unlike most Islamic countries, you don't see people wearing the head stuff and all that kind of stuff because if that kind of identifies them that they have some kind of religion, and so to do that would mean death, and so because some people still were Christians and Islamic even back during that time, but they didn't wear the headdress, and so they still don't do that. So it's kind of interesting because I've been to a lot of Islamic countries, and sometimes you feel out of place. But it's just kind of interesting because, it's just different. It was interesting because last time I met with some pastors and they're like, we're just first generation pastors. And they want to know what are our kids going through because they have no clue what their kids are going through. They have no clue about anything. So, but our school is mixed with current pastors as well as a lot of young people, a lot of more college age type people. And so it's so exciting because these college age type kids, I mean, they're excited about what God's doing. And what we did there in Albania this time, it was my idea because. We have our school in Tirana. That's the capital city there. That's where we have our school. And what we do there in the module system is we actually do a whole weekend. And so you come basically all day Friday and all day Saturday, and you get one course in a long weekend, which is really hard for the teachers. But, if you like to talk a lot, I guess it's okay. So, I was able to do that okay. But this time what I said, let's travel around the country and do some healing meetings and promote the school. So we went to three different, we had one service. Our first service actually was like an hour away from, we stayed in the capital city, but we drove to, so we're like an hour away from our first service. And actually, the bad part about it, we had to get up and leave from Greece like at 6 a.m. and we had a service at like 6 p.m. in this place. And we had like an hour and a half drive, and anyway, had a great service there. And but it's interesting there because you could tell where we are, you could tell that they hadn't been taught as well, but it still was an awesome service. And then our second service actually was in the capital city where we actually have the Rhema, our school, and you could tell the people were just more receptive. There's a big difference because those people have been taught. A lot of the students were actually in there, and so it was just interesting how you can tell a difference, and it wasn't like the people the first night, they were awesome, they just hadn't been taught as much, even doing a prayer line, they're not used to it. Now something else is a little kind of interesting is most of the places it's a concrete floor, all right, and they're not used to catching people, so you're trying to explain to ushers, make sure you catch some people, don't let them hit their head on the concrete floor. Nobody did, thank God, but it's just interesting. We had a great service there, and another cool thing, and I put some of these up on Facebook, is it's cool to hear people in other languages singing some of the same songs that we sing. I think it's really interesting because a lot of them, they sing some of the current songs that we sing on a weekly basis. They're singing there in their own language. And it's just really, really cool to see that. And then we went to another city, there in Albania. And most of you have seen the mobster, things about Albania. Well, that's kind of where this city was. I mean, this was, they say that the reason we didn't stay in this city is it's kind of a rough city. It's known to be rough, and we got there a little early, and we went to they have a lot of coffee houses or whatever, and so we're going to go to one coffee house, and they're like, no, you probably don't need to go that. We'll go to one around the corner. It's a little bit better. I'm like, this one looks fine to me, but anyway, whatever. I guess that city is more mafia controlled, although it's like, and it's just interesting too. Some of these churches, I'm like, how do people know where this church is? I mean, you kind of come around a corner and all of a sudden it's not like there's a big sign. Here we have huge signs. Over there, it's like, you came around the corner, all of a sudden they open up a garage and boom, we're pulling into the church. I'm like, how do you know where this garage is? I mean, there's no sign on it, and, you know, anything else. So it was, you know, kind of interesting. But, you know, it was the third city. I was actually, I mean, really shocked. I mean, the pastor had done a good job teaching them. And, you know, we had an awesome service. And it was just, it was different, but they were all different, but they were all good. It was another healing service. And it was just incredible. And also at that service, I think I told you guys last year, I was able to see once again one of our students, and he's actually a farmer. His whole family is a farmer, farmers, and they were actually building a barn. This was 2017, and so they were hauling a crate about 200 pounds up to the second story of the barn. They were refinishing or making a second story, or so I don't know exactly what they were doing, and so. Somehow, something, rope broke or whatever, and that crate fell down and hit his 12-year-old nephew. And he says, instantly, you could hear bones crack and stuff, and said he got to the scene. And whenever I taught there last time, I taught about gifts of the Spirit, and you know, and all of a sudden he remembered, you know, about, you know, special faith and working of miracles and gifts of healing, and he just commanded life to come into him, and he said when his hand was on the kid, he could feel the bones popping back in place, you know, and at first he wasn't breathing, and he wasn't trying CPR, he was just praying, and he began to breathe, and what turned out, you know. He just had some bumps and bruises, nothing broken, you know, and this gentleman said he was dead when I got there. He was lifeless, you know, and look up, he probably broke his back or his neck. I mean, you know, I don't. And he said I could just feel things popping, and he says if I wouldn't have had that class, I don't know if I would have known what to do. I mean, so it's just so awesome to know, you know, that. And what's going on there? In fact, and so when I was there in Albania, we released 3 new books, and I believe we have 21 books so far that we've released in the Albanian language, and we're going to have 24. That's so we have 21 of the 24 that are, you know, we might have more than 24, but we had a plan to get 24 books, and we're up to 21. And last time I was there, we only had 9. So they've done quite a few in. And Pastor Spiros, who's over Greece and Albania, I mean, he's been pushing these guys to get these. He goes, "I gave you the money, get it translated." So anyway, so it's like, it's just awesome, you know, to see that. And then whenever I got back home, actually, I got another message from Pastor Spiros, and it said, "We have a lady who's one of our Albanian students, and she is a nurse. She works as a nurse at a hospital." And she was in a surgery room, and there was a guy who had been dead for 30 minutes. And so she was trying to do the natural CPR and all that kind of stuff. And the other doctors were trying to push her aside. You know, not only she was doing CPR, she was commanding the life to come into this guy and all this stuff. Other doctors were trying to say, "He's dead. Forget about it. You know, it's over. You know, there's no more hope." It says she continued to pray and exercise authority in what she'd been taught at Rhema. Said the dead man started moving after 30 minutes. And so she's going to write it down and talk to the head man there. His name is Fatmir. I know it's kind of a funny name, but that's his name. He's not fat at all. That's what's even more funny. His name should be Skinny Mir. But anyway, but I guess Fatmir is a pretty popular name there. This lady is going to have Fatmir, you know, write down some stuff, and you know. But it's just pretty awesome, you know, what God's doing, you know, not only through our books, but but through our students, and they haven't even graduated yet in Albania. I mean, they're still, because they're in the, like I said, once again, they're in the module system, even though they've been going for, you know, for over a year. We haven't had a graduation yet, and it's just so awesome because there was no word. I mean, there was a little bit, but it was illegal. And I'll talk more about that. My next place I went to was Croatia. I've never been to Croatia. Now, I was a little tired, so I didn't really get to see a lot of Croatia the first couple of days because, I saw the hotel room and around the hotel room. Because, you know, I did have one day off in Albania. I got there on a Thursday, and I didn't have a day off until the next Friday or something, or next Thursday or something like so. You know, and that's not a bad deal, but it is a bad deal whenever you're like 8 hours difference in time. And, you know, and according to one of our ministers, he said that he read some research. Whenever you have 8 hours, 8 to 12 hours, it actually takes your body 2 full weeks to actually fully get on the right thing, you know. And so, you know, unfortunately, a couple of years ago, twice I was 12 hours difference for 2 weeks. I'm like, man, how, you know, well, 13 days, I guess, you know, or 14 days. And I'm thinking, man, who booked that schedule? Enough time for me to get used to one time that I'm coming back home again. So then we went to Croatia, and Croatia was also under communism, but their government wasn't quite as strict, and so they actually allowed people to preach the gospel. In fact, once again, they have a lot of coffee houses too, and it's interesting because the pastor, it was a couple of days later, whenever we had time to think, he said, let's go to this coffee house. I always wanted to use it as close to the town square, right in the middle of town. He says, because back in the 80s, I had a sound system and I would preach on the street, and this coffee house would let me plug into their electricity, you know, for free. And so I always, you know, try to go there or whatever. So it was a little more open there. And in fact, some people actually showed me the Name of Jesus book. They actually, they translated three of my grandfather's books back in the mid to late 80s. One of them was The Name of Jesus. That was the most popular one. And I don't know how many people showed me that book and saying, you know, thank God for that book. I mean, that book changed their life. You know, and I mean, it was like countless people, they wanted to come and bring that book to show me that book. Because they were thanking me. I mean, you know, thanking me for I didn't do nothing. I was in high school, you know, or whatever. So, but they're thanking me for allowing that book to be published, because I said that book changed their life. You know, a lot of times, you know, we take things for granted how much we have. I mean, we got a bookstore full of all these books out here, you know, and we take for granted, you know, like I said, in Albania, to read one of those books could cost your life, you know. Interesting what we did, what the pastor decided to do in Croatia. Now, in Croatia, we don't have a school there. We're working with this pastor. The pastor is not a Rhema grad, but he actually went to a school that was pastored by a Rhema grad had over in Sweden. He actually went to Sweden, went to a Bible school. And so, you know, we're working to get more books translated. You know, we have a few. There was three originally, and then something happened, and those three went away. But we have like 9 books that we've translated over there, and trying to work on getting some more. We try to get 24 books for the school, because that kind of coincides with a lot of our school stuff. And so, but we're working in Croatia to hopefully that we'll maybe start a Bible school in the next couple of years. Spiros, the same person in Greece and Albania, will be overseeing that as well, and we'll do the module system as well. But what the pastor did there, and actually I met this pastor a couple of years ago. I went to Greece the first time. He came and came to, when I was preaching in Thessalonica. He came to actually, I was teaching, I guess, in the school. He came to there. Then we had some fellowship time, and then he came to camp meeting 2017. He's going to come to camp meeting 2019 as well. And so I mean, it's exciting what God's doing in Croatia. But what this pastor did, he said, what we'll do is on Saturday, we'll actually have 2 services, but what we'll do is we'll have 1 at 5, and then 1 at 7. And so instead of having, you know, a lot of people have 1 in the morning, 1 at night, and so what we end up doing was, it's kind of what we used to do in the morning time. So the first service at 5, I actually, you know, had a lesson on faith, you know, just a faith lesson. And at 7, then we actually geared more toward healing or whatever. And actually it worked really well, because they had just heard the lesson on faith. And now some people that couldn't come at 5, you know, came at 7. Then we had some, you know, a few new people who came in, but for the most part, majority of the crowd were there for both times. And so they're able to get a lesson on faith. And then by the time we got to healing, you could tell we had more success. You know, and you know, because the more word we can get into people, the more success you have. But, you know, sometimes you're limited in time whenever you're only there for one day or whatever. So it was just interesting because it was kind of a cool concept. We don't see that a lot in America. Usually, you know, what we in America, like, you know, we go in the morning time, we go for lunch, go take a nap, come back, and half people come back, half people don't come back or whatever. So, but it worked really, really well. And then the next morning was normal church service. So you know, we had normal church service. And some of the same people there, some of the same people weren't. But I thought was actually cool was a number of people who weren't even from that guy's church. You know, and but it just they knew about the ministry and heard about the ministry and they were there. And so but this pastor also has, I think, 9 other churches in Croatia that kind of fellowship under the same thing. So next time we go back to Croatia, we're going to try to hit more of those churches. And hopefully by that time, we maybe can announce Raymond and start promoting that. And so it's just exciting. And one thing about Croatia, or at least Zagreb, the capital city there, is it's very clean. I mean, I've never been to a big major city like that. I think there's like 3 or 4 million people there. But the streets are clean. There's not like, you know, there's no, I mean, downtown Athens isn't very clean. I mean, there's trash all over the place. And, you know, there's, you know, beggars and what. I didn't see beggars. I didn't see trash. In fact, there was some guy hauling trash from, you know, there's a lot of restaurants right on the street or whatever. He was hauling it down the street. Then there was a dumpster, you know, and usually if there's a dumpster, you know, there's trash in the dumpster, over the dumpster, around the dumpster or whatever. There wasn't any of that. Then I watched this guy haul, you know, 3 bags of trash, put it in the dumpster, close the dumpster. I mean, you know, maybe they got fined real big if they have trash, but it was just, I've never seen a city so clean. But it was really cool for, you know, being a visitor. I didn't get much time to really see a whole lot. You know, we walked around in the dark on Sunday night because we didn't do a Sunday night service. And so it was, saw a little bit. Also, it was cold, too. But you know, it's just cool going to a city that or a country you've never been before. What also is kind of interesting is food. You know, it's always interesting. Now some people always ask, well, you know, they say, well, you know, are you going to be okay with food? I said, yeah, you don't get this big, you know, being picky about what you eat. So I said, you know, I'm okay with food. But it's interesting. So they gave me this soup and they said, this is some kind of special soup that, you know, whatever. And, you know, I said, we have the same thing. We call it beef stew. You know, but, you know, they have some other dishes that we don't have. But man, the food in Croatia is actually really good. And they're in Croatia, they're more beef eaters and that kind of stuff. So it's really, they're kind of a combination between, you know, beef and a little bit of the German influence. And also there's some Turkish influence in there. They had some desserts and stuff that were more like from Turkey that was actually some couple of them that are really, really, really good. So, man, it's just wonderful. It's just awesome to see what God's doing. And just through our ministry around the world. And sometimes, you know, whenever you're here in Oklahoma City or in Tulsa, you don't realize, you know, what God's doing. And you don't realize how one book changes a life. But you know, I mean, I can't remember how many million of books we have in print in English, but, you know, I know, I think we have 4 million in print in Russian. And that was, we printed lots of them whenever you weren't allowed, you know, we were smuggling them in. But, you know, going back, I'm going to go back to Albania. So in Albania, like I said, they had a dictator who was really not very nice. And they were under a lot of persecution. And so what they did, my one day off when we had Albania, we went to a what they did in Albania, this dictator was always concerned that people were gonna bomb their country, or whatever. So he built 70,000 bunkers all over Albania. So there's little bunkers. Now, so we actually went to the government bunker that's right below where the main government is, and it's actually all the tunnels are kind of connected to this bunker and stuff. And inside the bunker, you know, there's the bunker. Now what Fatmir told us, he says there's bunkers like this all over the place, but they're not this nice. And so you know. You know, you remember in school, you know, here in Oklahoma, we used to have tornado drills and those kind of things. Well, they had bunker, they had bomb drills, and where you had to go in the bunker. And said some of the places basically it's just a bunch of mud, and they would have to stay down there until they decide to ring. You know, it wasn't like you have 15 minutes and they ring the bell; they might be hours down there because they were preparing everybody that someone's going to, you know, bomb them or whatever. And actually, what Fatmir says, they never used any of these bunkers. It was never used for any time of war or anything. It never was needed. But inside the bunker, what they did was they made a museum. And I don't know if I liked the museum or not, because it actually described the history of what went on. It actually kind of did a little before communism, but it showed the different stuff, and it showed the amount of people that died in concentration. It would put people, in concentration camps, and they would torture people and everything. And there was a picture there of a Catholic priest who was being hung right there on the square. But the way it was back then, it wasn't, you didn't have to have any proof. You just had to think that somebody was doing something wrong. And they had a list of like 33 different tortures that they have, and usually they wouldn't make it through the whole list. Whether they did anything wrong or not, they would just confess, because they would rather die than go through all these tortures that they'd have. So anyone that was, serving Jesus during that time, they were tortured. And in fact, especially around the outlying areas of Albania that might be close to other countries, sometimes airwaves or whatever, you were able to get TV from other countries. And so they had some people that were, back in the 60s, kind of looking more like the Beatles, the hairdo or whatever. Well, that was a worldly hairdo. And so barbers were instructed, if anyone comes sits in your chair and has hair like that, to cut it, just to take them bald. Don't even, because that was too worldly. But that's better than being tortured, so I guess, and then at some point in time that they'd actually, and so it wasn't just you couldn't be religious, you couldn't be anything, because communism was good. Now, I talked to one of the pastors the very first night. I talked to him, and he's probably a little younger than me, probably in his 40s or whatever. He talked about when he was a kid, they didn't even have any bread. He said, if we had bread, it was usually stale. But there was a bread factory on the outskirts of town. So what they would do is, I guess there were certain days that they knew that they were going to deliver bread to the town. And so he says him and his friends would ride their bicycles outside the bread factory. And as soon as they see the truck, loading the trucks, and they would start riding home, and they would tell, their parents so they could get there. Because even if you had money or had whatever they had, rations or whatever, you still couldn't, they didn't have any food for you. But they were rationed. They can only have, no matter how big your family, you can only have so many grams of meat and all kinds of stuff. And he's like, he was saying, it's just amazing because my kids are picky with their food. They won't eat this, won't eat that. So when I was a kid, you're glad to eat anything. And I started thinking about it. In America, a lot of times we're spoiled. We don't realize what we have. We don't realize, what it's like to be free. And sometimes, you watch some of these people that were protesting and things like that and said, they don't know what it's like. In that bunker, and seeing all the torture, seeing all the stuff. And so what they actually would encourage the citizens to do was to spy on each other. And then there were certain people that actually give them, spy devices. An interesting part about it, it showed, they were talking about back in the 80s and even older, it showed some of these small cameras and stuff that it's pretty commonplace now, but it's interesting, this was available in 1985 or whatever. It was like a little bitty camera. Now we have all kinds of stuff, but it's interesting that was available in technology, like spy technology, that they would actually give to certain people in certain cities. And basically everyone was trying to police everything, and they would throw them in the concentration camps. And it was terrible, but praise God, and something else that some of you may or may not know, if you're around Rhema, USA, Rhema, Tulsa at that time, is back in the mid to late 80s, my grandfather got a divine direction by the Holy Spirit to begin to pray for Eastern Europe. And pray for the end of communism. And whenever he started it, a lot of people told him he was crazy. There's no way it's going to happen. But we prayed for years. And then one day, I guess it was 1989, I believe, when the Berlin Wall fell down. And then one by one, all these countries began to fall. And some countries were more strict than others. But Albania was one of the strictest countries as I began to do research and whatever. And it's interesting now that, that we have 21 books in Albania. We have a school in Albania. And those people are excited. The reason you see miracles happening is because they believe. I mean, they believe the word. You know, and it's just awesome to see what God's doing, you know, in that country. You know, and it's terrible to see the past, but praise God, you know, sometimes our past is terrible too, but we have to look beyond our past and move forward. You know, the Bible, you know, says there in Philippians chapter 3, you know, to put those things behind us and reach forward toward our future. You know, and although the past was bad, but you know, like this one pastor was saying, you know, he says, you know, a lot of times your past, because of my past, I'm more thankful for what we have. You know, and it's interesting to watch, you know, listen to my son talk. You know, he says he's more thankful for what he has now. You know, because, and he goes, I didn't realize how much I missed until I got back out of prison. You know, I didn't realize, you know, and the deal is, I know even when he was in prison, at one time that they were moving some of the people, they were attending some kind of special thing. There were like 50 of them, and they were actually attending a church service situation, and it was at sunset, and some of these people hadn't seen the sunset in 20 years. You know, and we take for granted sometimes what we have. I mean, we take for granted, you know, a lot of stuff. And so, you know, I don't really have a message tonight, but quit taking things for granted. You know, and a lot of times, you know, unfortunately, we take Jesus for granted. We take what he did for granted. You know, and like I said, I know that we always talk about, you know, what the real reason for the season and things like that. But a lot of stuff, times we get so busy that we forget. So I want to read a little bit from Luke chapter 2, Luke the second chapter, you know, back the very first Christmas. It's Luke chapter 2, verse number 10. And this is when the angels come to the shepherd. And I want to read a little bit and then I'll talk a little, share some things in my heart. Not really probably a sermon, but just some things in my heart, you know, about taking things for granted. Excuse me. It says, Luke 2:10, the New King James says this, then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people. Now, this, for instance, one thing I do want to let you know, when an angel appears to anybody, the first thing they always say is, do not be afraid. You know, I mean, it's first thing. So you know, some people say, well, I'd love to see an angel. You know, I think if you saw an angel, you might be scared because everybody else was, you know. So anyway, it says, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I mean, think about this for a minute. I mean, a lot of times we read the Bible and we clap about it, but we don't think about it. So what really happened was an angel appeared to the shepherds. You know, and he began to talk. And while he's beginning to talk, all of a sudden you get to a point that there were a whole host of heavenly people behind him. I mean, you know, it's freaking enough to see one angel. Thinking, it says, I don't know how many a whole heavenly host is, but that would be kind of interesting. You know, but I like what they said. They said a multitude. A multitude's a lot of people. And said, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. You know, I believe that the reason that Jesus came, and actually when Jesus actually, you know, ascended to heaven and he came back, he said, peace I leave you with. You know, we talk about he's the Prince of Peace. But, you know, Jesus came so we could have peace. But it's interesting, not only does it say peace on earth, but it also says goodwill to all men. You know, and a lot of times, and I know I harp on this quite a bit, but a lot of times it doesn't seem that Christians are really good. You know, sometimes Christians aren't even that nice of people. And I'm not saying you're not nice. I'm just saying as a overall, a lot of Christians are kind of rude. You know, and maybe they don't mean to be rude, but a lot of Christians almost have an attitude of God loves me and nobody else. You know, God blesses me and no one else. You know, it's interesting. But, you know, we're now in the busy part of the holiday season. Traffic is getting worse. I don't know if anyone went to the mall this weekend. I unfortunately did because I'm a last-minute shopper. Then I went home, got online, and see if I could get it before Christmas because it just was a whole lot easier, you know. And so a lot of times whenever we're in traffic, when we have a lot of stuff, you know, a lot of times we forget about the goodwill toward men thing. you know, cutting people off, you know. But, you know, the thing about it is, I mean, you know, think about this. Praise God, we can go to the mall. Praise God, there's actually things to buy at the mall. And praise God, we actually have money to buy those things. You know, sometimes, and you realize that some of the poorest people in America would be considered rich in some countries in Africa. You know, and I get it. Not everyone lives in the house that they'd like to live in. You know, not everybody has everything they'd like to have. But, I mean, you know, most of you here, probably all of you here, probably have running water and lights and heat, you know, and AC in the summer. I mean, you know, it's not like that in a lot of places. You know, a lot of you here probably don't have 10 people crammed in one bedroom apartment. You know, but you know, that's pretty common in some places of the world. You know, so, you know, I get it, man. I was grumbling to myself a little bit about some of the traffic and stuff, but I'm thinking, you know what? Praise God, I can drive down the street. Praise God, I have a car. I got a nice car. You know, praise God that I have the wherewithal to buy presents for my kids. You know, and like I said, there's stores there that I can actually buy from. I mean, like I said, they said in Albania, it didn't matter whether you had money or not. In fact, Fatmir said one of his uncles actually was pretty wealthy for the time because he was a farmer and he was able to, you know, to sell his stuff for money. And so he complained. He says, you know what? I have money to buy bread. When you have bread, it's not even good bread. It's old bread. So the communist government threw him in jail for 2 years because he complained, you know, not just one time, I think he complained multiple times. But I mean, thank God. You know, but a lot of times, sometimes we forget about being nice to people. And you know, it's the holiday season, so we should be nice to people. You know, because isn't that the real meaning of, I mean, the way we people know that we're Christians is for us to act like one. You know, because Jesus was good. Jesus was nice. People love Jesus. Not everybody loves you, but everyone loves Jesus. You know, and I think it's just cool. I mean, you know, and you're reading in the paper, you know, some of the stars have went to Walmarts, you know, and paid off layaways, you know, and all kinds of stuff. I mean, that's pretty cool. You know, and I know you probably can't afford to pay off everyone's layaway at Walmart, but you might can afford to buy someone Starbucks. You know, they said, but I don't know these people. I don't care. We don't. I mean, you should just be so thankful that, hey, I want to buy your Starbucks. You know, I mean, you know, it doesn't matter. I mean, just like today, I mean, kind of our the way we do things is we always stop at a convenience store before you get on the highway to head here. And there was a guy sitting outside, you know, looked like he's homeless or whatever. And so I don't know why. So when he got in the car, he got over to the door, opened the door for us. Now, he didn't ask us for any money. He didn't ask for us or anything, you know. And so, and I'm like, man, you know, I don't want to give him money because he's probably going to buy beer or whatever. I don't know what he's going to do with it. You know, but I paid cash. And, you know, usually a lot of times I pay, you know, credit card, debit card, but I paid cash. And when I had paid cash, I had a couple of bucks, you know, left over. So you know, whenever I walked out, I said, you know, I gave him a dollar and told him Merry Christmas. You know, I don't know what he's going to do with it. But you know what? What's it matter? The fact that I was a nice person to him. You know, and a dollar's, my dollar's not going to kill him. Because he's going to have to, you know, get a couple of dollars before it's going to really kill him or whatever. But you know what? It's, you know, the guy at least went out of his way, opened the door for me. You know, not that I couldn't open my own door, but you know, and he never asked me for a dime. And when I went in and when I went out, he didn't ask me for anything. So, you know, why not? Why not be a blessing? I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming he's homeless. He could be just waiting for someone to come pick him up. I don't know what's going on. A lot of times we assume things just because somebody looks a certain way that they might be a certain way, but you never know. But you know, a lot of times it seems during Christmas time there's not a lot of peace. Sometimes there's not a lot of peace when your whole family comes over. You know, sometimes you know, and I get it. A lot of times, you know, family members come over and maybe you have some contention somehow, some way. I don't know why. You know, it's just family being family. You know, we all have that happen in our family, but you know. I guess for me it's different because, you know, last year was not a good Christmas. My son's in prison. I'm just glad to have everybody there. I mean, why fight? I mean, why let anything, you know? I mean, the thing about it is, you know, and like, you know, a lot of you maybe have lost loved ones or whatever, you know, and they're not there. I said, you know, I mean, you might as well be nice to the ones who are. You say, well, yeah, but they've done this. Who cares what they've done? The past is the past. All things, you know, just put it away. Yeah, but they stole money from me. Yeah, maybe so. You know, but, you know, the Christian thing is just be peaceful. Because, you know, a lot of times we have a choice to be rude or not to be rude. You know, kind of like Shakespeare, to be rude or not to be rude. That is the question. You know, and sometimes maybe we're not being rude. We're just asking for money that people owe us, or we want to, you know, ask why they did something to us 20 years ago or whatever. But, you know, sometimes we have to just let old things pass away, you know, and decide, you know what, I'm going to put it behind me. You know, let's just be more thankful. You know, thankful we can actually see each other. You know, because, you know, I've heard many stories where family members, you know, kind of been contentious with each other, you know, brothers, sisters, moms, dads, you know, and then someone passes away and they're like, you know what, you know, I wish I was nice to that person. You know, and as we get older, and I say we, all of us get older, you know, and people start passing away, I mean, it's be more mindful of that. Normal progression. I'm not talking about people passing away because of car wrecks. I'm talking about, you know, just normal progression, you know, in life. I mean, I've, you know, all my grandparents are gone. I mean, my parents are getting older, you know, and I think about that. I mean, as my grandparents started passing away, was more mindful, you know, as my grandfather, my dad's, my mom's side passed away first. And so I started thinking about that, you know what, as they're getting older, I need to try to spend more time. And so my mom's mom, I tried to spend more time with her, even though she was living in Dallas. You know, I actually took a couple trips just to go see her down in Dallas because, you know, my other family members lived in Tulsa. I mean, I traveled with my grandparents and stuff like that, but I wasn't around her as much. And sometimes you don't think about it until you start losing them. You know, and, you know, I have a lot of friends now who have lost their parents and stuff. And, you know, I'm just more mindful because, you know, sometimes I've not always been the nicest son. I mean, you know, I know you don't think that. You guys think I'm perfect, but, you know, sometimes, you know, just, you know, and, you know, sometimes I do it just to push their buttons. Just, you know, just, it's not that I have to. It's just, I'm just being my ornery self sometimes that you probably don't see because I never show you guys my ornery self, but sometimes it pops up at family stuff and not even family stuff because we work together. It pops up at the office sometimes or whatever, you know, but, you know, but I think too, the more you travel around, the more you see things, the more you hear stories about you know, what happened in Albania, you know, and stuff like that. And the more thankful that I'm thankful for being alive. I'm thankful for, you know, for my family. I'm thankful for my parents. I'm just thankful, you know, like I said, I don't care if I get anything for Christmas. I don't want anything. I have my family, you know, and it's all I really care about, you know, and for me, you know, it's, I'd rather give than get anything in return anyway. The Bible says it's better to give than receive. And you know, it is. You know, I just thank God that God's blessed me with the ability to be able to give. And, you know, I know in Christmas time I try to help people that I know that don't have anything or have enough to support their kids or things like that, you know. You know, and sometimes we need to be more mindful, and sometimes we don't even think about, sometimes people tell us stuff and we don't think about it. Like someone the other day happened to tell me that they only wear one certain kind of cologne. All right, and I didn't know they don't have a ton of money or whatever, so I stored it in the back of my head. So, you know, I'm going to go out and buy that cologne, you know, and give it to them for Christmas because they told me that, I mean, so I can never have too many bottles of this cologne, but I never get big bottles. They weren't actually asking me for it. They were just talking out loud, but I was mindful about that. See, a lot of times we're not mindful about stuff like, you know, we be more mindful. I've been in, you know, in the store behind people or whatever that, you know, that they're putting back stuff at Walmart because they don't have, you know, they needed $3.25 to pay for all the stuff. And I'm like, one time they put back like three things. I'm like, how much money is those thinking three things? I mean, in all total, it was like less than $5. I'm like, I hand them a $5 bill. I said, Merry Christmas. I mean, when it was Christmas, this was like in July or something like that. But, you know, I mean, sometimes we should be more mindful. And it wasn't that big a deal. That $5 didn't really hurt me, you know. Now, I'm not saying that I had a ton of money at the time, but you know what? You know, you could tell that they had kids, that they, you know, that the stuff that they had, they were trying to figure out what stuff their kids don't need to eat, you know. And so what they put away was the fun stuff that kids were like probably really want to eat, you know. Not stuff, you know, that they probably need to eat, but stuff they want to eat. Like, you know, so I'm like, you know, buy your kids some snack, some. And then they tried to give me back my, like, 58 cents or, you know, what? I'm like, no, you can keep the 58 cents, you know, whatever. I mean, but, you know, I believe that one reason Jesus came, number one, for us to have peace, but also for us to be, I mean, he came to show us how to be good to people so that we can be imitators of Christ. Because, you know, people were attracted to Jesus. It's interesting, you know, and the people who were down and out, I mean, you know, even people that weren't the best so-called Christians in the world, they came to Jesus. They would come and talk to him, you know, because he was friendly. He wasn't condemning. Most Christians seem to be condemning. I mean, you know, I say it all the time, and I don't mean to be rude, but sometimes I always wonder, you know, if I would have made it 40-something years or 50 years without being saved, would I ever got saved? Because, you know, I watch some of these Christians in the world, and I'm thinking, and I'm not talking about you guys. I'm just talking about overall general feeling, and, you know, I see a lot of judgmental people. You know, but if I read the Bible, Christ was not judgmental. In fact, I read a post the other day on Facebook, and it said, you know, a lot of times that ministers, you know, have a lot of thoughts how people should act or whatever, you know, but, you know, we should get if we would read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we would get an action idea of how you should really act. You know, from the original, you know, Jesus Christ. You know, it's interesting. My mother-in-law actually said this. It was kind of funny. And I'll mention names because you guys don't really care, so it doesn't really matter. You know, obviously most people, Wikipedia calls my grandfather the father of the modern day faith movement. You know, and he's, you know, he's considered, you know, the most prominent modern day person to teach faith. All right. And many people, you know, has gleaned things from his ministry. Some have already been graduates. Some have just read a lot of his books and been to a lot of his meetings and stuff. And so one day someone asked my mother-in-law, said, have you read Brother Copeland's book on blah, blah? I don't know what he was. And my mother-in-law says, nope. Says, but I read Brother Hagin's book, and the same title, almost or a real similar title or whatever. He says, you know, I just figured I would just read the original and not the copy, you know. So you know, I don't mind giving the answer, because Brother Copeland would laugh about it too, you know. But it's funny, you know, because, you know, a lot of times we don't read the Bible. We don't read the original. We don't look at Jesus, and, you know, and I love it when it says in you know, Acts 10:38, how you know, Jesus, you know, anointed with Holy Ghost and power, went about doing good. It was the first thing it says. He went about doing good. And I believe that there was a forethought here when the angel, the heavenly host, began to say, you know, peace on earth and goodwill toward men. You know, and the only time we ever really bring that up is Christmas time. You know, Jesus didn't come to have goodwill toward men and peace on earth at Christmas time. He came that we might have peace all the time and goodwill toward men all the time, you know. And, you know, say, well, we have Christmas and July sales too. But, you know, it doesn't, I mean, you know, the thing about it is a lot of time at Christmas, sometimes we're more sentimental and we sing Christmas holidays and we watch Hallmark movies and, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. More sentimental about, you know, but God's good all around. And miracles happen every day of the week. All right, not just in Hallmark movies, you know, the you know, 5 minutes before midnight on Christmas Eve or whatever, you know, of course, you know, all the Hallmark movies are kind of all similar, you know, something unexpected that everyone expects happens. But you know, the thing about our God is he really is good, you know, and I believe here in the United States of America we are a blessed nation. And I believe one reason we're blessed is because our founding fathers based the whole nation upon the Bible, whether people want to say it for, you know, or not, you know, then, and, you know, and I believe that we are really one nation under God, you know, and I get it. You know, there are a lot of people, especially in the day and age that we live in, that do a lot of complaining and a lot of stuff. But you know, really, that's the minority. They're just louder. They're just louder. Now the scary part about it is because a lot of times our kids are not being taught, you know, and eventually if we don't teach the generation below us, then, you know, and in fact, you know, that's, you know, sometimes, you know, I'm gonna get on my soapbox here. But a lot of times nowadays, the trend in, you know, in church and the children's and youth ministry is to babysit the kids while the parents go to church. But if we just babysit the kids and don't teach them, you know, Bible stories and stuff like that, they're not going to know. You know, and, you know, it's interesting, you know, I teach there at Rhema, you know, and so our first-year students, which would be freshmen in college, you know, and it's interesting, Bible stories and things that you all know and I know, you know, we all know, they don't even know. You know, and I'm not blaming the pastor. I don't know who to blame. Oh, I guess the devil is probably the good person to blame. But you know, a lot of things, and that's why I go back and I'll talk about David and Goliath, and you know, and the fourth man in the fire, and so because you know what, you know, God's the same God that He was then, and a lot of times whenever I've actually heard people even, you know, I've never heard this in school, but I've heard people, you know, even ask their parents, did that really happen? Or was that someone that just put that in the Bible? No, it really happened. And a lot of times that we don't realize that so many things really happen. But what we have to understand is the same God that was then is also here now. And He's with us. In the good times and the bad times. I mean, our economy is doing better and that's great. But you know what? It's not about our economy. God bless us regardless of the economy. I mean, you know, it's just interesting, both in Croatia and, you know, in Albania. I mean, you can see where God has blessed people, you know, and their economy is not that good. But God, in fact, the guy that drove us around in Croatia, because we were staying downtown and he lived downtown, he drove a brand new or fairly new, you know, year or two old, Range Rover. He was doing pretty good. It was really nice. All sad heated seats was really nice. Now we didn't have it that nice in Albania, but you know, it was snowing outside, so heated seats were pretty nice. So it was cold, and the wind was blowing. God blesses people, and sometimes we don't realize how much God has blessed us, you know, because we don't realize how bad it could be, because we complain about how bad it. And you know what? Complaining doesn't ever solve anything. The Bible doesn't say complain and have your answers met. It says ask and you shall receive. You know, and a lot of times, I mean, we complain, but we don't really have a lot to complain about because we have the wherewithal, and most of you have been taught what to do. You know, even though the Bible's pretty simple, it says stuff like this: if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask. How hard is that? It says, whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. I mean, is that hard? It says whatever. And then it says, if you ask anything in my name. I mean, you know, it's pretty plain. You know, I know a lot of people, they need to dig down to the original Greek. And also, there's a difference between the original Greek and the Greek language of the day, by the way. I didn't know that. It was all Greek to me. But there were some slight differences, and so one of our ladies actually at the church, she works there at the church and the school, she studied, and she's an expert not only in the original Greek, but also the, you know, I mean, the modern Greek. She helps translate a lot of the stuff, but she also, so it's pretty good. And she goes, yeah, there is a difference, you know, and, you know, a lot of people, I mean, you know, they can kind of read most of it, but it's a little bit different. You know, there's a lot of things that are really easy. And the thing about it is that God sent His Son, Jesus. That's what started the whole thing. That's why we have Christmas. Christmas is about Jesus, not about Santa Claus. It's not about Rudolph Red-Nosed Reindeer or Grandma got ran over by a reindeer or anything like that. It's about Jesus. You know, and I'm okay with all the fun stuff. I mean, it's okay. You know, kids can have fun. It's okay with that. I mean, you know, But the thing about it is, it's about Jesus. And it was really cool. My granddaughter, you know, told me the other day, says, you know, Pa, that Christmas is about Jesus, right? I'm like, yeah, I know. Because, yeah, it's about Jesus, about his birthday. It's you know, and so it's pretty cool. I mean, you know, thank God she's being taught, you know. But a lot of times we kind of forget about that, you know. So whenever you're in traffic and you want to honk at everybody and all that kind of stuff, and, you know, first of all, be thankful that you have the wherewithal to drive. You have the wherewithal to buy things at the mall, even though it might, you know, maybe things aren't tight. But man, you know, I've seen some stuff overseas that, I mean, you know, living conditions you guys wouldn't even live in. I mean, you know, think, you know, you would never complain about the way you live if you saw the way they live. You know, I've seen places, I'm like, man, five people live there? Yep, five people live there. You know, it's like incredible. The five people, they even fit in the place. I mean, let's us live there. You know, but it's, you know, God's blessed us. And it all happened the very first Christmas morning. And so don't take things for granted, but be more thankful. You know, not just at Thanksgiving. People are more thankful at Thanksgiving and Christmas or whatever. And let's be more mindful. You know, you realize that they, during this holiday season, there are a lot of people that go into depression and all kinds of stuff. And because a lot of times because loved ones are not around or whatever. Sometimes it's because they don't feel that they can buy the Christmas gifts that their family all wants or whatever. And really, I mean, it's not about that. It's not about what you can afford. It's about spending time as a family together. You know, just being together and not fighting and, you know, having peace on earth and goodwill toward men. You know, so let's be more mindful of this holiday season that, you know what, like I said, really remember the real reason for the season. And, you know, and when there are times that you want to get frustrated, just don't. Choose not to. Choose not to fight with your relatives whenever you're there, you know, after you consumed your turkey dinner and watching TV or whatever, and, you know, playing board games, whatever you do, whatever your family does at Christmas or whatever, you know. I mean, you know, choose to be nice. Choose to be good. Choose to be more mindful about people around about us. You know, be more mindful when if people are down, some of your coworkers are down. Be more mindful if there are some of your coworkers or, you know, don't have a place to go for Christmas. Because, you know, a lot of times people are I know, especially, you know, they're in Tulsa because a lot of times they're in school or whatever. They don't have a place to go. Be more mindful. Invite them to come to your place and just be nice. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for each and every person here, and help us to be nicer people. We thank you, Father, to help us really celebrate your Son, Jesus Christ, this holiday season. But help us understand it's not just a one-time-a-year thing where we're nice to people and we have peace on earth and goodwill toward men. But over all the years, that we'll just be more mindful for what we have. We thank you for everything that you've done in our life. We thank you for what we have. We thank you that we have freedom here in America. We thank you, Father, that we have freedom to do things, and that we just thank you for that. We thank you that you have blessed this nation. And we thank you. We pray for our government. We pray for our president. We pray for our governors and our future governors, not only in this state, but in all the states of the union. We pray for our leaders, and we thank you, Father, that you're giving them wisdom and helping us guide this nation like it needs to be guided, Father. Father, we thank you that you're just blessing us. And Father, help us to be more mindful. Thank you that, you know, every day that you'll send people across our path that we can be a blessing to. We just thank you for everything that you're doing. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen, amen. I just want to say this. My grandfather said he never asked the Lord to bless him. But every day he asked the Lord, help me be a blessing to somebody. Said every morning in his morning devotions, he would say, Lord, help me be a blessing to somebody. And you know, the thing about it, the way we live now, you know, because we have this whole internet and we have social media, we can be a blessing to people we don't even hardly even know. I mean, you know, you might even put something on your social media, some kind of scripture, some kind of verse or some kind of, you know, whatever that might just bless somebody. I mean, it's interesting because I don't do it all the time. I mean, you know, I use my social media more to show what's going on in my life, not necessarily to preach from. If you want to hear me preach, come to hear me preach. All right. But there are some times that the Lord places a scripture on my heart. It's interesting. You know, I'll put the scripture. Sometimes I just paste it from my Bible program or whatever. And a lot of people say, man, I needed that scripture today. You know, and that's why God laid it on my heart. You know, and I didn't know that particular person needed it. And I may or may not know that person. But, you know, just be more mindful of the people around about us. Amen. Let's all stand up. Sorry, the mic's cutting out. They want me to shut up. That's why the mic's cutting out here. All right. If you're here tonight and you need healing in your body, anyone need healing in your body, come down here. We want to minister God's healing power to you. Amen. We also have a prayer class that we need to pray for as well. Amen. Amen. Praise God. While they're coming down here, just reach your hands out toward this prayer class. This was a 7-year-old who broke his arm. All right. And he had to have 3 pins in it. I mean, you know, I hate it whenever when kids, or, you know, get sick or get injured or whatever. Father God, we thank you right now for this 7-year-old, Father. We thank you, Father, right now for the healing power, God, flowing into his body from the top of his head to the soles. Is it him or her? It's a her. In her body, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, Father. We thank you, Father, that this arm is just being healed. This arm is being healed right now. We thank you for no complications whatsoever. We thank you, Father, that everything will come together. Everything will a complete healing, a very quick healing in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. You guys that are down here, just close your eyes, lift both hands toward the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now for your healing power, God. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That's it right there. That's it right there. Hallelujah. 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 In the name of Jesus. Oh, that is right there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, for the healing power of God flowing into you. That's it right there. That's it right there. That's it right there. Be healed now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God's a good God. Amen. Amen. Make sure that whoever brought this, they can come get this cloth back. Amen. I'm not going to be here next week. I know it's our candlelight service, but my family is getting really big. The bigger my family gets, and so normally what we do, my immediate family, we always have celebrate Christmas after Christmas because it just kind of works out. But this year we're doing it on the 23rd, so we're doing it before Christmas. So which happens to be the same day. I won't be here but I encourage all of you to be here. I encourage you to bring somebody. I mean, it's a beautiful service. If you've never been to one of our candlelight services, it's beautiful. But I won't be there, so I want to wish all you guys a Merry Christmas. Amen. But I will be here on the before the New Year, so I'm not going to wish Happy New Year yet. All right, I'll be here on the 30th. All right, amen. Well, the way we dismiss around here is I'll be back at the door to shake your hand. If you don't want to shake my hand, if you're a first-time visitor, any first-time visitors, we have the connection team is going to take you, and we have a gift for you. But I'll be out to check your hand, amen, out that door. Praise God. God's a good God. Amen. Amen.